Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Welcome to Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, a Cubs-centric podcast brought to you by Good Karma Brands, ESPN 1000, and the fine folks at Arlington Toyota. It's our third ever episode as we get this podcast up and rolling, focused on your favorite National League ball club. Our producer is alongside Jack McGrath. Jack, where can people send questions and comments if they want to join the pod?
People can send questions to at JackMcGrath1000 on Twitter or on our YouTube page at ESPN1000 Chicago. You can watch all of our videos there. If you drop a comment inside our podcast, we will answer those questions.
So we'll get to our mailbag segment. We'll also go inside the friendly confines, as in the locker room, with some audio clips to play. I was in San Francisco with the team, was there Monday night for the big win against the Rockies. Dare I say it, they're playing a little bit better baseball. Winners of 4 of 5. Of course, PCA had that cycle on Monday night, turned into a pretty good night at Wrigley Field. Let's get right at it. Here's the first pitch. So I said this back in April on the radio about PCA. He was having good at-bats against left-handed pitching. That really told me something about what was to come, and it eventually did come. We're seeing him do a lot of damage against righties and lefties. He's as hot as anybody in the league and certainly as hot as anybody on the team. And I don't want to ever hear about hitting being contagious again, because it's simply not true. If it was, then PCA would be rubbing off on some other guys, but he is seemingly the only guy that's really hot. We're going on well over a month now with this extended slump. The Cubs, since May 8th, 29th in batting average, 29th in slugging. You know the numbers by now. A lot of ugly numbers offensively, from Nico Hoerner to Dansby Swanson. Bregman a little bit better just in terms of batting average, but not really slugging the ball very well. Say Suzuki had a moment there in Colorado before getting hurt, and then in San Francisco, a couple 3 days where he did some damage, and then he got hurt, so we'll see where he ends up. But it's been a little bit better lately. As I said, 4 of 5. That one loss was to Logan Webb. That's going to happen sometimes to some of the best in the business. But the Cubs at least are gobbling up a few wins, though I'm not sure they're playing all that much better offensively. And then we saw what happened Monday night on in their bullpen with Phil Maton and Caleb Thielbar giving it up before they were able to win the game on the walk-off walk by Matt Shaw. And let's get to Matt Shaw and the big topic today, playing time. Last week on this podcast, I said that I really thought there might be some changes if they had another sort of okay average week at the plate. That's pretty much what happened after dropping the first two in Colorado. They did score some runs in game 3 and a little bit more in games 1 and 2 against San Francisco, but then it went south again in that finale. Barely got to 5 on Monday night. So here's Craig Counsell saying he's going to change up the playing time a little bit. Matt Shaw is going to get more playing time on this homestand. We'll go through the Matt Shaw progression in a bit when we get to our audio segment. Matt Shaw is starting in right field on Tuesday night. We're taping this podcast before Tuesday's game against the Rockies. Where else could he see playing time? Could he go onto the dirt? Could Pedro Ramirez get some playing time? Who is going to sit if Matt Shaw is going to play more? So these are questions yet to be answered. One player I want to address is Dansby Swanson. Now, that's a guy that's getting a lot of conversation on the radio and on social media because he's hitting about .175. Is it time to sit him down? Some people, my buddies David Kaplan and Mark Silverman, would say it's long overdue that he should be sat down. Let's at least acknowledge it's not the easiest decision to make. When to sit a Gold Glove caliber shortstop who has several more years left on his deal making big money. I mean, that's a lot of things mixed into the Dansby Swanson situation. Now, look, you could just fall back on what's best for the team. And I get that. And I think eventually they will. And we're getting closer and closer to that, I think. But many times you'll hear a manager, and Craig Counsell said that about a veteran, you just don't know when he's going to break out. And I know what people are thinking. Even when Dansby Swanson breaks out, it's not all that great, right? He's not going to be PCA or even Seiya Suzuki or one of the sluggers on this team. But if he were to get back to the back of his baseball card, then think about the damage he could do between now and the point where he does get back to those numbers. That's the hope always with a veteran. If your career average is 250 and you're hitting 175 and you're going to get to your career average, that's a lot of damage between now and then.
So, Jess, what you're saying is it's all about regression to the mean with Dansby Swanson. Is they're just kind of hoping, or I guess in this case, more progression to the mean, but they're kind of hoping that he's just going to get back to what he's always been.
Of course.
It'll be even better than what he's always been just purely because of that regression to the mean.
Well, of course that's what their hope is. That's why he's still playing. But there comes a time where you say, okay, this just might be one. If he's probably a little bit older, you might say, well, he's done. You know, if he was 39 and doing this, you'd just say he's done. The other thing is, like, in his best years, he's just an okay offensive player, more power. And you might just, well, this is just going to be one of his worst years. And you just chalk it up to one of those weird, crazy years that players have. But I want to remind everybody how tough a decision it is. Manny Machado is still in the lineup, hitting about the same as Dansby Swanson. The Diamondbacks are playing Gurriel instead of Ryan Waldschmidt. They sent down a prospect. Everybody wants the Cubs to play their prospects. Cubs are not the only team that's holding on to their veterans, hoping that they come out of their slump. So all I'm saying is don't act like it's an easy decision when you add up all the factors. But look, I get it. It's probably time to give some other people a chance, especially when you see how capable Pedro Ramirez is. And the funny thing is, I'm a huge Matt Shaw and Pedro Ramirez fan. And honestly, and I've said this before on the radio, I wasn't always the biggest Matt Shaw fan. You heard me on this podcast last week, on both episodes last week, I was talking about how undersized the Cubs are. Well, Matt Shaw, kind of like Nick Madrigal on the South Side, undersized first-round picks. That means they better do a lot of other things well because we know they're not going to slug too much. Nick Madrigal's not slugging, right? He doesn't play great defense. He doesn't have much speed. I don't know how he was such a high draft pick. Matt Shaw actually has some slug in him for his size. Some smaller guys can do it with their swing, with their mechanics, maybe just upper body strength, whatever it is. And Matt Shaw has proven to me that he can do that. It is still kind of crazy. They sat down a Gold Glove finalist who was one of their best hitters in the second half last year, but that's what happened. So does Dansby sit more for Pedro Ramirez, for Matt Shaw, or does Shaw get into the outfield more and there's rotation at DH with Seiya Suzuki and others? I think that's the question right now. I talked about possible changes after last week. I think we're starting to see them right now. The biggest one, though, does Dansby Swanson take a seat on the bench? We'll find out.
Do you think he should take a seat on the bench?
Well, they're pinch hitting for him, so it's obvious they don't mind putting him on the bench even late in games because if they get a lead, they lose something defensively. Yeah, I think halfway through the season, when you have capable young players backing him up, I think it could be time. And I talked to him in San Francisco. He's wearing it. It's on his face. You could see it. He wants to do better. He wants to hit. He thinks the dam will break. But the Cubs are floundering in the standings right now, and they may have to make a change.
Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Time to go inside the locker room. We try to do this almost every episode where we bring you some audio from the locker room. Some of it I've gathered on my own, some of it from press conferences. I was in San Francisco, as I mentioned. And look, Jack McGrath, I'd like to take a little credit for getting Matt Shaw in the lineup. Here's the progression. I went to Matt Shaw and talked to him. Then I went to Craig Counsell and talked to him. And then Craig Counsell on the flight back from San Francisco thought about it and said Monday night he's going to play Matt Shaw more. So if he does well, Jack, I want the credit. Let's listen to Matt Shaw as I caught up with him Saturday before game two against the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard to get in any sort of groove, offensively. And I think that's a little bit of just the nature of the position that I'm in. And, you know, so understanding that is, for me, is important, just that, you know, can't necessarily put too much, you know, pressure on one at bat every 3 days, you know. So it's definitely been something that I'm still trying to figure out how to balance, for sure. But then, you know, just doing everything I can to stay ready, you know, offensively, defensively, physically, you know, trying to get game reps during BP, things like that, just to try to stay as ready as I possibly can.
Are you confident you'll get your chances again at some point here? Whether, yeah, may not be this year. I don't know, but there's plenty of time left in your career to get back in there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, that's definitely a different story when I think, like, long-term. Yeah. You know, short term is one of those things where, you know, just again, just honestly trying to not necessarily developing on the field, but working on things mechanically, working on things defensively, just trying to do anything I can to continue to use this time to actually, you know, bear fruit in the future from this time where I'm not playing as much.
So you hear him there. He's trying to stay ready. He's trying to stay upbeat. He's trying to get used to his new role. And, you know, the injury that he had, his back injury, kind of stunted his season for sure. But just how they're playing him has kind of stunted his growth. And it's good to hear that he's going to get in there more. Here's Craig Counsell on Saturday, same day when I asked him about Matt Shaw and what kind of conversations he's having with him, considering he's not playing a lot.
Matty's done a really good job here. You know, I think the month of April, I think, just it was the nature of the pitches we were facing. I think you got a lot of at-bats. There was a couple injuries going on. There was, you know, Say was out the first 10 days or so. So there was it was kind of working the way you thought it would work. You know, we faced a string of right-handers. He got hurt. Then the lefties came when he was hurt. And now we're on a string of right-handers again. And so that's, you know, it's hard, right? And so, you know, I think he's handled it really well. You know, the playing time situation is not ideal. I wish we, you know, get him more playing time. You know, you still think with 100 games coming, like, something will happen that'll cause it. But yeah, it's something to think about. That I would like to have him in there more.
So there, you could tell it was on Counsell's mind, but it wasn't until he got on that plane coming home that he decided that, yes, I need to get Matt Shaw back in there more. And that's where I go back to, like, they had a wonky week offensively still in hitter-friendly Colorado. Didn't do that much more in San Francisco, but enough to win two games. And I think Craig Counsell just made a decision, I've got to change things up a little bit. So here he is Monday night after Matt Shaw walked with the bases loaded to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Matty had a really good night. No, frankly, like flying back from San Francisco last night, I was like, we got to get Matt Shaw involved. That was kind of something I thought about. And, you know, he's just the nature of this thing that, you know, he was involved, and then we had this stretch of pitchers, and then the injury list happened, but we got to get Matt involved. And I think he will be this homestand. And he did a really good job tonight, so I'm happy for him.
So there you have it. Matt Shaw will be in the lineup more. I think that's a good thing. Let's see if he can provide a spark, and maybe he does unseat a veteran or two at least a few times a week, more than he was earlier in the season. Let's get back inside the locker room. How about Craig Counsell Monday night after the game admitting that he might be up late at night considering he pulled Shota Imanaga after throwing 85 pitches, and the bullpen gave it up. He's second-guessing himself just like we are on this podcast and on the radio. Here's Craig Counsell about pulling Shota.
You know, I'm kicking myself a little for taking him out, frankly. But yeah, I'll probably think about that one a little bit tonight. But it happened, and they took some good at bats against Phil, and, you know, we got out of their tie game and moved on. But Shota pitched really well.
Can you take us through your thought process in that moment of going to Mayton?
Yeah. What you'd expect.
So that's one time when a manager admitted maybe he made a mistake. How often do they go home and replay it all and the next day think that maybe they should have done something differently. I'd like to hear managers be more honest about their mistakes. The best at it, Jim Riggleman. Jim Riggleman would often admit his mistakes and sometimes even ask the press what he should have done. I think that's the way to go. I think Craig Counsell should start asking myself and others for what moves he should make in terms of pulling your starter or your lineup. I'm sure the team will take off if he does that. All right, our final inside the locker room cut, audio cut, is from Dustin Kelly, the hitting coach. I brought this up on the pod last week, and I said I would go talk to him about it. The Cubs have seen a ton more breaking pitches over the last month. That's been well documented online, like something from 33% to 37, 38%, something like that since May 8th when their slump began, since that 10-game win streak ended. And so along with that, their launch angle has changed. They're hitting more. They're hitting balls with more loft, which is okay if your exit velocity goes up as well, because then you're hitting it in the sky and you're hitting it far and it's going out of the park. But they were getting more loft without more exit velocity. So I wanted to ask Dustin Kelly about it. Here's the Cubs hitting coach.
I don't look at it a ton. I monitor it. I think a lot of it has to do with some of the sliders and the breaking balls that we see and the uptick and changeups. And those are a lot of times balls that are just like cut and clipped. And the fours are the ones that get the fastballs that get a little bit deeper. And those are lower on the ground. And we see a lot of breaking balls.
So the breaking balls have created them to get out in front.
Out front.
And some launch.
Yep. Out in front. And it just kind of creates like a little bit higher launch. Like, we don't want the super high one. Like, I want, like, 12 to 20 line drives in the gap. You know,
so it's more a result of how you're getting pitched. I mean, guys aren't, like, selling out.
No,
that was the question. So how do you combat that?
Yeah,
Is that the million-dollar question?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, like, we're noticing, or we've noticed for the past month and a half, that there's a big uptick in breaking balls to our guys, you know? And, like, that's just part of the game. It's how the game is going. Like, we're just seeing more and more sliders, harder sliders, almost, like, cutter-ish. And guys are like, Swanson gets a bunch of them. Suzuki's got a ton of them.
Bregman's
getting a ton of them. So like, that's just like the nature of the game right now. It's our job to adjust.
So of course we didn't really get to the answer to how they hit breaking pitches better. He wants line drives. Well, let's see it. Let's see it happen. I wouldn't mind a few home runs on some of those breaking pitches that are mistakes that hang in the zone a little bit. So pop-ups, no good, line drives. Deep fly balls, very good. So we know the problem. We just don't know the answers. Time for the mailbag. All right, time for the mailbag. We do it every episode. Jack McGrath, our fine producer, will deliver some questions. But remind everybody where they can leave a question for me, Jack.
Yeah, for sure. They can just tweet me at JackMcGrath1000. Or if you leave them in the comments of our YouTube page, we will get to those and we will answer all those questions that you leave in the comments.
All right, what do you got for me today?
First one, Jesse, all-star voting coming up. How many all-stars do you think the Cubs are going to have, and who will they be?
Off the top of my head, I think there's only probably going to be two at most. That's going to be PCA. He's going to make it one way or another. There's not that many great center fielders, and even if he doesn't start, he should make it as a reserve. The only other name I can think of right now is Ben Brown. I mean, the way he's pitching, I could absolutely see Ben Brown not making it initially, and then guys drop out, and then they ask him, and before they could even get the question out, he says yes. He's that type of guy that he'll want to go even if he doesn't pitch. That's the kind of kid Ben Brown is. So I think it'll be Ben Brown and PCA, and that's it for All-Stars.
Jesse, what the heck do you do with Phil Maton at this point? He has a big contract, but he obviously hasn't been performing. What do you do with him?
You pretty much have to keep him away from high leverage situations, you know, low leverage only until further notice. And that means more than just one or two appearances. That's the answer. I mean, you could DFA him, but you may as well try to fix him since you have him for another year at big money. But don't try to fix him when the game is on the line. I was a little surprised he came in Monday night to face the pinch hitter, Trey Johnston. I assume that Council knew they'd pinch hit for Tovar, and they did. I actually tried to look up if Johnston was like bad against, you know, breaking pitches or curveballs, you know, the stuff that Maton throws well. And no, the numbers are pretty good for Johnston. So I think low leverage only, that's the answer. Jacob Webb is stranded 9 of 10 runners this year. I know he went to Webb the next inning. I think I would have brought in Webb with men on. It's not like there's a ton of great answers back there after Palencia, but I would keep Phil Maton away from high leverage for the near and maybe even longer term future.
Jesse, is there anybody that the Cubs are looking at now to shore up the bullpen?
No, not really. Not other than the names they've picked up off the waiver wire. They'll move some people up and down for sure as time goes here. But in terms of a big name or something like that, no. If they add a Kittredge or someone like that, it would be in late July. I'm just using last year as an example. Your best players have to be your best players here. And Phil Maton is supposed to be one of them. He's not. So you're going to have to look elsewhere. But their strength of their team is not necessarily as in the middle relief department, right? No, there's not many teams that have the strength in that department other than, you know, the San Diego Padres and maybe a couple others. Now, Maton was supposed to be. He's not. So you got to cover his innings a little bit. But there's no real big help on the way until at least the trade deadline. All right, that's going to do it for Inside the Friendly Confines, our third ever episode. They drop twice weekly. I'll have another one later in the week. And again, just like last week, they're getting there a little bit here and there. You're seeing signs. If PCA can keep it up and a couple others start up offensively, maybe we'll be talking about a Cubs run on our next cast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.